I'm officially ready to start a podcast. I'm just waiting on a phone call from Rob Benedict, which may or may not come. I'm waiting for Bobo to call my phone. I'll wait here perhaps forever, drinking all alone. Bobo, where are ya? Where is your phone? Why isn't it in your hand with your big bony fingers poking at the numbers that I own? Oh, here he is, I think. What the hell? Who's this? Hello? What is this?
What do you mean, what is this?
What's it? This is not a number that's in my phone.
That's really weird, man. Something weird's going on because I went to call you right away and my phone like shut down and it just gave me the Apple signal and I couldn't.
Yeah, dude, this is not a number that I have in my phone for you.
Really? What did it say?
Uh-uh.
What does it say?
Hold on a second. First of all, you should start recording now.
I'm recording.
I've been recording for 2 minutes waiting on you to call.
I've been recording for 2 weeks.
That's going to be a hell of an edit. You got to navigate there.
It's a big file.
I am going to look at this number that's on my phone.
Because I'm about to hang up and...
It's 323.
Uh-huh.
Well, sorry. Plus one. And then the parenthetical.
Uh-huh.
Then the year you turned 40.
Well, first of all, I got to cut that out somehow because you just gave my phone number out. That's my number.
Yeah, but all you got to do is go, you know, okay, here's Rob's number.
There all right, let's just do something. Just because now I feel like the Russians have tapped into my phone. Can we hang up and I'm going to call you back and tell me what happens?
Yeah, Ruski, comrade.
Da.
Sure. Hang up and call me back. Whatever. Float your Das Boot.
Das Vaganya.
All right, bye.
That's not Russian. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's something. I think that's thank you. Okay, here we go.
All right, now I'm still waiting on Bobo. Waiting on Bobo. Waiting, waiting.
He's in my favorites. There he is. It's like number 11. It's not. He's not like top 10, but he's in the top 15. He's like 11.
Waiting.
Hi.
Waiting. Waiting on Bobo. Waiting. Waiting. When will Bobo call? I bet he doesn't
I'm calling
call
him,
at
it's
all.
Ringing.
Wait a minute, this is Bobo. Bobo, I think I'll answer it and use the terminology we all use, and that is, I will say hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What is, who does it say is calling now?
Rob.
Okay, so it's back Benedict. To normal. So, that's weird, Richard. It makes me very, very paranoid.
Dude, you're in the new compound. Your house is wired to the gills, which, I mean, I don't blame you, but... Anything could be going on. You saw Parasite.
Listen, what? There's someone in my basement?
Dude, I have no idea. I can't tell you.
But this
not.
Is what I'm worried about. I went online today to buy some adhesive for my these foam pads I put in my recording studio or my recording booth here. You know those.
Okay, already this is sketchy, but go ahead.
And I was looking for spray-on adhesive, and I got it from this website that I'd never ordered anything from before. And when I put in my phone number, it said, like, what country? And it gives you, you know, choice of what country. I said America, and then it gives me the plus one. And then the next phone call I make is I register as an international call? That's weird. Yeah, something Whoa. Seems really... You're being facetious, Dude. But I...
No, I'm not, because that's weird. Because why would your number not come in as Rob Benedict?
And right before I called you, my phone, like I've been waiting for you for 2 hours. Just to give a backstory here, Richard, we haven't done this in 2 weeks, and nothing's changed.
We haven't done it in 2 weeks, but go ahead and tell your dumb story, because then I'm going to smack you down with some facts.
Okay.
Go ahead, have
you,
at it.
You said at 5:30, I may be late, because JC's not home yet. And I said, okay.
Right.
Well, let me...
And I have how many children under my watch?
And a dog and a cat. I'm not blaming you for any of that. Yeah, I mean, it's your choice, but I'm not blaming you for it. I get it. I'm a.
Are you breaking my chops for choosing to have a
no,
family?
No, I'm not. I have a family. I've got children.
Yeah, but see, I have a your body, your choice mentality. You have a very much like tell Rich what to do with his body sort of attitude. Oh, my friend, this is you're on the wrong side of history.
Not now, Richard. Not now. Not now.
Yeah, not now.
You son of a bitch. No, I'm on the right side of history, and we're both.
Yeah, you're on the right side of history. Oh,
Jesus. I'm going to give you a right across their fucking mutton chops if you don't shut up.
Wow, here come the curse words. And we haven't even played the theme song. You know what? Pause for a second. Play the song.
Oh, boy. Hey, hey, everything's great. And my guest is Richard Spade. Okay, thanks, everybody. This is Rob Benedict. We're back after a two-week absence.
Bobby F-bomb Benedict.
I can cut anything out. I can cut that out.
No, you won't cut that out because I actually think you're really good at editing because you keep the honest stuff. Like you're pretty good at like even if you feel like man, but you keep it because it's the honesty that is the backbone of the show. And I think Boob Google F-bomb is who you really are, and people need to know that.
Now we got the name of this episode: Boob Google F-bomb.
Yep,
right off the bat.
My work here is through. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, no, I really don't cut. I cut out the awkward silences of you trying to figure out what I'm talking about. Are you doing something else and then realize you should have been listening? Like now.
What? Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Anyway, no. You called me. You said you're going to be late. I said, no problem. Then I order myself dinner. I'm about to take my first bite of my taco bowl from over there at Mixto. Yeah, dude, from our good folks.
Mixto.
Good folks at, I call it Mixto. You call it Mixto.
Yeah, and by the way, that's actually the title of their song. Take it, Bobo.
You say Mixto and I say Mixto. You say Burrito and I say Burrito. Mixto, Burrito, Burrito, Burrito. Delicious. Yeah, it's a debate for the ages. Your son Frank,
a delicious.
We're
debate.
Having a yeah. We love Mixto. We're at Mixto, and I call it Mixto, and your boys got on me about it. I'm like, that's not what it's called. I'm like, yeah, let's ask them. And so Frank went up to the guy who works there and said, "Is this place called Mixto?" I gave him the answer in the question, and the guy was like, "Yeah. Yeah, Mixto." We thought that was really...
Nobody's going to deny Frank. You know, nobody's going to deny
We just thought that was so funny that... Because we were like, you know, the question to ask is like, how would you pronounce the name of this place? And he goes, do you pronounce this place Mixto? He's like, yeah, how do you, right? You're right. You don't say no to Frank. Anyway, so we lost. But I still call it Mixto. And anyway, ordered that, about to take a bite. And then you text again saying, I'm actually ready. I'm just waiting for my phone to charge. So it's like, oh, crap.
Well, I just threw the boys on the video game, which is the last thing I like to do. But Machete's
she's
not
still
here.
Not there, huh?
She's out doing what Machete's do. I mean, no, Machete's out doing whatever Machete's do when they're roaming the wild. I guess hacking down brush.
Are you sure she's not having a?
But she's out there doing
a socially distant cocktail with one of her lady friends.
No, that's usually not her style. But she's not here, and so then I'm like, man, you know. And the boys at the end of the day, they are prime for, I don't say prime for fighting, but I don't mean like punching each other, but prime for arguing. Uh-huh. So I was like, if I get in there and start this thing and just leave them at loose ends, it's just going to go pear-shaped real fast.
So what'd you end up doing?
So I was trying to figure out what to do. And then I kind of phoned it in as a parent and said, well, I've been looking forward to doing a podcast. We've had 2 weeks off. I'm like, I got to put the kids on the computer games. And by the way, they were begging me on bended knee, can we please play games?
Everybody wins.
Because they haven't played in a while.
Everybody wins.
So everybody wins except for
Machete.
You and your freaking Mixto. No, Machete wins. She's not here for any of this. She's out there having a time.
No, look.
Doing whatever machetes do when they're off the clock. You know what I mean?
Listen, I don't. Yeah, yeah. Oof, God knows. God knows. The machete.
Dude, a machete. What I wouldn't give to be a machete on the town. And by the way, that's the title of this track. Robbie, take it.
What I wouldn't give to be a machete on the town.
Yeah. There it is.
The way you sing it, it sounds hot. Like it's even more fun the way you present it.
That's right. That's right. So the machete.
That's what she does.
Machete's out there cutting away. And you're in with the boys. And I don't blame you for that at all. I totally understand. However, you're also Richard Spade Jr. And if you were in the middle of the Sahara with no kids and nothing to do, you still might be a half an hour late.
That's probably true. There's no fight there. I give you that. But that's not what this was.
Got it. Well, then I also kind of misread. You were like, I'm charging my phone, so I didn't know it was going to be a 15-minute charge.
It was dead as a doornail, man. I mean, like, Frank has piano, and we do it, like, on FaceTime. Yeah. And I had to, like, I was, like, off camera kind of waving him to speed up the sonata because he was going to lose the whole bit if he didn't, like, power through the piece because the battery was going to die before the lesson was over.
What kind of lesson was it?
Piano.
So virtually with a teacher?
Yeah, I set up the iPhone on a tripod aimed at the keys and the music, and she communicates beautifully with him, kind of executes the lessons. You know, he's a beginner, so it's, I don't think it's all that.
Do you stand right next to him with your face to the camera and go, "He's pretty great, right? He's good. That's my boy."
What I said, when can I start cashing in on this? Because this kid's got chops. When can we turn those dimples into dollar signs? That's what I always say.
So this is a private lesson outside of school?
Yeah, there's no at his school there's not music offered.
Right. Man, that's a lot of zooming for you and your family.
Dude. Yeah. The zooming has been and I mean, for those of you who followed the podcast have heard us bitch and moan about internet problems. Spectrum is ready for the lockdown. And I've had guys from Spectrum come out here four times. The last time, and I bought a new modem thinking, well, maybe that'll help, even though the guy was like, it'll never help. It's just the signal coming into your house is weak. There's nothing you can do inside this house to make it better. However, and by the way, everybody's come here from Spectrum. Whatever beef I have with Spectrum is with the system, not the people. The people have been fantastic on the phone.
Yeah, I think we have a song for that.
Whatever he did, whatever he came out and did, and I have no idea because it's sort of like in under a stairwell where the modem and everything is, it improved dramatically. And he, you know, he swore in a stack of Bibles he didn't do anything other than get rid of the old modem, back to a Spectrum modem, which I already had, so it was nothing new out of a box. He just rehooked up the old modem, but he used a different connector to splice the cable coming in to the modem. I know this is a boring conversation.
I'm telling you,
I don't know what the man did. The internet suddenly worked 1,000 times better. Now, did it work perfectly? No, but that's just, I think, the times we're in.
Absolutely.
With every kid and every person on internet all day long.
I'm having trouble with the internet all the time.
Right. Okay, and I think you're probably having a normal amount of internet. But Rob, you remember, I couldn't.
No, it was bad.
It was bad.
And you know, we're dependent on this, right? Like we said.
Especially with education and socialization being what it is. Out of nowhere, it suddenly works.
That's great.
I mean, out of nowhere. So, slightly better internet now, so he can do the piano.
Great. Yeah.
And the zooming, man. I mean, the kids are at the end of the school year.
Yeah, I know. I mean...
Hey, Machete just walked in the room.
Machete.
The Machete, who has been Lord knows where... The podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're still doing the podcast. Is that okay? That's a pregnant pause.
I thought you were not doing this thing anymore. I'm back from work. You came back in to say, come closer.
You were coming in to say what?
I'm done with work. I couldn't find you. I didn't know you were still doing this.
I texted you to say the boys are playing video games. I'm doing a podcast with Rob.
Oh, I didn't get that.
You got that text. You just don't read my texts.
I never
Well,
hi,
Rob.
Hi. Hi, JC. Can you hear me?
He says, hi. Yeah, no, but I'll translate. He says, hi. And hi, JC. He's afraid of you, so he doesn't know what to say.
Just a little scared.
Lovely to see you, ma'am. See you later. And with that, she's gone.
I was about to call her Machete, and then I was like, I can't call her Machete.
I almost called her Machete. That's why I said ma'am. I almost like outed her own nickname. I literally was like, hey, bye, ma'am.
That's what I just did. You're like, say hi, Rob. And I'm like, hi, JC.
And every time, it's like, I feel like Machete is my own personal Kaiser Sose. And I feel like that part where Kevin Spacey is like, and with that, she was gone. Because like, she just thought, she comes in, casts a frowned eye on my goings on here in the garage, and then backs out slowly with a sort of sad nod of the head, and she's out.
I love that she thought it was over. It's like, oh, you're still doing this?
Well, you know, this is a perfect segue because Rob and I have taken 2 weeks off, and I want to address that. I want us to talk about why we've taken 2 weeks off. We took 2 weeks off, and Rob, you know, leap in here at any point. We didn't want to be tone deaf to what's going on in history right now. And though Rob and I pride ourselves in being able to take a negative and spin it positive and take, you know, the mundane and make it amusing, at least to us, we didn't think that was an appropriate approach to the tenor of the times that were going on outside our window in every city across the nation. And we wanted to be respectful for the movement, respectful to the movement, and respectful to the families that were the Floyd family and the other families that have been affected over the years.
Yeah, I just...
And it, the Black Lives Matter
movement. Yeah, it hasn't felt like the time to crowd the airwaves with anything that's not that. Like, I feel like not only paying respect to it, but taking part in it and listening to other voices rather than trying to, you know, infuse it with ours, even though we always mean well. I think it was important to take a knee, as it were, and listen. And, you know, even now it feels, you know, it feels a little too soon, but at the same time, we're two guys talking. Whoever listens to us knows us, and it's okay, and people still want to listen to what they want to listen to, you know.
And I think also that we you know, I would like to think as this podcast goes forward, today forward, we're never going to not acknowledge what's going on outside the window. You know what I mean? Like, this is a moment in time conversation that Rob and I have, and this is the moment in time that's happening. It was such an extreme moment. Like, Rob and I had to we had a conversation about do we do it or do we not. Mm-hmm. It was a grounded, serious discussion that led to us deciding to not do the podcast because, and I think Rob said it spot on, we didn't want to detract.
Yeah.
Anything, I think everybody should be looking at the issue, listening to both sides of the issue, or, you know.
Yeah.
Getting their information and getting their information from proper sources. And granted, there are times where you need to break the tension with a little humor. And usually that's where we step in, but we just thought there wasn't anything that made sense.
Yeah.
We didn't want to detract. Yeah. Is what you said. I'm just repeating what you said. You said, we didn't want to detract from what was going on in the world, and we didn't, and we would never. Yeah. And if we can't add a voice to it, then I think our best move is to step aside and let other voices step in.
Yeah, and you know, I just think it struck me today that I think one of the best things, a good thing to do if you're a white person, is to just take a minute and just think on it. Ask yourself where you're at and what you can do. I think that's really important.
I don't know what you've been doing online, Rob. I you know, the online world is so vitriolic right now. You can't say something mundane like, hey, like, Rob, if you pick up the phone right now and go, hey, everybody, let's stop, let's listen, and let's learn. Somebody would tell you to F off.
No, I know, but that's...
Somebody out there would find that offensive. Not somebody, tens of thousands of somebodies. And that's what I don't understand. Like, really? Is it that hard?
Yeah, I also don't understand why this is a debate. There should be no debate here. I mean, we're talking about civil rights, equal rights. That shouldn't be a debate. If you say, you know, remember 9/11, no one's going to like, hey, fuck off. Remember every day. You know, we're talking about treating people equal. It's a very basic human need. And so I just don't understand it. Yeah, I've been the same way. I've been listening a lot. I've been scared about putting too much out there. I don't normally go too political. But
neighbor, I was talking to about this very issue, and they said they'd gotten an example from somebody who had said, if you're a doctor and you go in for a broken arm, and you say, I have a broken arm, and the doctor says, all bones matter.
Right.
You go, yeah, I
know they
I
do.
Know. All bones
but this
do
one's
matter.
Broken.
But I have an issue right here in this yeah. arm. I've got a broken right. arm. I don't know how many times the leaders of the movement have to explain this. It's not in opposition to all lives. It's not. It's just directing focus over here to the fact that we have a systemic problem in this country. And we do. I'm a Southern man. I may not live in the South, but I'm genetically Southern, and I consider myself Southern, and I'm proud to be from Tennessee. And there are Civil War generals in the parks. There are oil paintings of Civil War generals in the buildings. That's a war we lost, and it's a war that was built on preserving slavery. Now, for all of you who are going to jump on my keister to say it was about states' rights, I'm going to say you're right. It was about states' rights. And the key state right that the South wanted to preserve was the ability to own slaves. So you're right, and you're also wrong. It's about
Is that
slavery.
What they say in the South? So, they argue it was states' rights.
Oh, well, you say anybody who's an apologist to the whole thing goes like, it was not about slavery, it was about states' rights. I'm like, right, yes, good point. The states' rights to continue not only owning slaves, yeah. but as they pushed westward to have slave labor drive that process forward. So it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's antiquated, and everybody I know in the South who's a friend of mine is forward thinking. You know, the South is moving forward, and in large part, the older generation and the younger generation clash on this, much like gay marriage and other things that have aged out because the younger people said, now why can't gays marry? And the old people said, just because. And eventually, you know, we, there are more people who get it than people who are afraid of it, and that issue became a non-starter. And that's where I think we are here. I mean, Rob, you're from Missouri. You're from the heart of it, too.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, you're not from Manhattan. We're both from that
yeah.
part of the
no,
world.
And we both know
dudes like that.
Yeah,
you know
I put
mean?
An
like, we both...
Instagram post out today. And, you know, growing up in Missouri, there was a lot of it. There was a lot of it. And you know, white you experience white dudes saying shit that wasn't right. And, you know, early on, me really taken from my brother became like a bastion of you know, just trying to say that that's not right. And really coming down on people when you hear them not, you know, there's just a lot of deep seated stuff. And obviously you ended up not hanging out with those people, and those weren't the people you liked. But if a white guy, you know, said something, or if you heard the N word, you went off.
But the problem is that you are rightly using past tense because that's your experience, and now you live in California. But it's still going on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna read you an article. I'm gonna read you the headline for an article from June 9th, 2020. So flashback to June 9th, 2020. Yesterday. Here's the headline. Tennessee state lawmakers vote to keep Nathan Bedford Forrest bust in Capitol building. Now, for those who are not familiar with Nathan Bedford Forrest, he was a Civil War general, and also he founded the KKK. So,
Jesus,
they have decided to keep in the middle, like Nashville, Tennessee, had thousands of people protesting. They're on board with this whole move, and the old white dudes who are casting ballots, and gals, if they're in there casting ballots, decided that Nathan Bedford Forrest, whatever he did on the battlefield to preserve slavery,
oh my God.
outweighs his role as the founder of the KKK. By the way, both shitty enterprises. And so his bust is going to stay in the state capitol. Now, for anybody who I'm offending, anybody who's offended by what I'm saying, I sincerely want you to, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I really do. Get bent and look at the calendar. It's 2020. The Civil War was half as long as Barack Obama's entire run as president. It was an attempt to secede from the Union, and it failed. Every general represented by those busts and statues is a general who lost. They are the losing side. They do not represent the winners of this nation. They represent the people who tried to secede, which is treason, and they lost and they failed. And there's no reason to have statues and busts of these people anywhere, but especially the state capitol. Tennessee, wake up. Get with the times, man.
Wow.
You know better than this. And there's a whole slew of you who know what I'm talking about, and young, and you get it. And there's a whole nother group of you who are going to go, that's just the way it is down here. And you represent the reason why this issue is a problem and why people are in the streets arguing about it and protesting about it. Because it's so hard when you run up against this wall. How can you feel like your voices are being heard if you're a person of color? How do you feel like your voices are being heard if you're a Tennessean in your state capitol, if in the lobby of that capitol is a bust of the man who founded the KKK? Do you really think they're hearing your voice if yesterday they voted to keep that bust in there? They are not. It's a sham. It's a joke. And that's the endemic systemic racism that is permeating our nation. And it's horrific. You know, the NASCAR organization has now banned the Confederate flag at its races. Yeah. Much to the chagrin of many race fans, which makes you wonder why.
I saw a comedian, like, okay. Comedian Jeffrey Ross today tweeted, this would be a inspiring headline from 1890.
Yeah. I am very for a two-party system. Bobby, you've heard me.
They call you.
Absolutely.
They call you two-party spate.
What are they? Old two-party spate. That's usually because I'm hopping from party to party, but in this case, it's politics. I'm all for two parties, Republican, Democrat, and if a third party pops up, I'm for it. Let's debate. Let's hash out issues.
The Whigs?
And the Tories. I'm for both. The Whigs and the toupees.
The Tories.
I'm for both those parties.
The Whigs, the Tories, the toupees. Is there a band? Has there been a band called the Tories? I think there was a band called the Whigs with an H.
I don't know, but I feel like there is a band called the Tories.
There should be.
Why don't you hop over to the Google machine?
Hey, all right.
If you're listening at home right now, go get a sandwich or make yourself a cocktail. This is going to take around 7 minutes.
We'll be right back after with more comedy right after this.
Also, a word from our sponsor, Alpo. Missing teeth, brittle bones. Balding Alpo.
Hey, just baby, it's better than gravy. It's Alpo.
Oh, by the way, I just got an angry text from the machete.
Oh, God.
By the way, she's in the kitchen and I'm in the garage. So this is the text. The text is a two-parter. Part one, CVS doesn't have balloons. All right. That could mean whatever you want that to mean in your world. That's what it means. That's what the machete. She's speaking to you in code.
That's clearly
whatever's going on in your life.
That clearly says
whatever
to
your
me,
personal CVS is.
That clearly says get the fuck out.
It says CVS doesn't have balloons, which means I don't want Rob in my house.
Exactly.
This is a text. She's so mad she just skipped words. So I'm going to read it verbatim. But this is. I think we all know what she means. So CVS doesn't have balloons. That was first text. Second text. I text from you saying you are doing the podcast. What she means, I think, I don't have a text from you saying you are doing the podcast.
Oh, she really didn't know.
And you know what? Dude, She doesn't have a text for me, Zane.
Okay, okay.
I forgot.
So you never told her?
I forgot to text her. In my mind, I was thinking, but you know how I am with time. I was so concerned about the time. And I was like, I got to get to Rob. He's going to flip. I was trying to wait till you're mid-bite and then hits you right then. And I just...
You're in contact with my Postmates driver.
Yeah. Benny called me. He said, I just dropped it off. Give him like 2 to get in there. Give him like 4 to get over the moat and then another 60 just to find a fork.
Yeah, I can't have him driving over the moat.
Yeah, I forgot. I was going to say, hey, the boys are playing video games and I'm doing the podcast. I thought that. It didn't go through my mind to the computer, so it just, here's our conversation. Did you get a haircut? My response, no. Her response, CVS doesn't have balloons. Followed by, I text from you saying you are doing the podcast.
That's so hot.
Which makes her sound Russian.
That's so hot.
I text from you saying you're doing podcast.
I have text for you, CVS, no balloon.
Net on the balloons. I feel like you're bummed that I went on my rant. And by the way, you can cut it back. If it's too harsh,
I'm not bummed. These important things, really, I agree with you 110%. And you have every right to say that. And I think as a Southerner, this is a hot topic for you. And it's.
I say to you, Rob, and you know my family very well, it has been one of the greatest conversation starters in my family ever.
Now, does everybody fall on your side?
Because, that's not the case right. For my life. We're not all affiliated with the same political party. We're not, you know, we all come at it from our own. Even if you come to the same political party, you know, my age and somebody else's age and my background and somebody else's background, we're all going to come at it with our own wants, needs, desires, and concerns, which is true for a family. I had the most forward-thinking conversations with my mother about this issue that I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is unbelievable. My mom, who was raised in Birmingham, Alabama, and Nashville, Tennessee, and has only resided in the South, is an intelligent, educated woman, but has only resided in the South, and she and I have butted heads over these issues in the past, and it is just, it's like somebody flipped a switch. She is enlightened.
Fantastic.
And I think, wow, that's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's really cool.
I mean, you know,
we
really are a product of our parents. And, you know, my mom was, you know, she was the first, she was so liberal, always been so very liberal. And, you know, I think that's great, man. That's great when you have that and that filters down. And I know that you guys have argued in the past. So that's really cool.
We've argued. My mom is a Democrat and my dad's a Democrat. But anybody who knows anything about politics and that part of the world knows that a Southern Democrat from, you know, that era, starting in the 60s, is a California Republican.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not right. The same thing as, you know, she wasn't a merry prankster. Right. You know, it's right, a different right, kind right. of. At no point am I criticizing. You just right. just know that when Rob and I talk about politics, we understand we live in a big nation. I don't expect everybody to be a New Yorker or a Californian. In fact, that would blow if they were. I enjoy the quilt, the pattern, the varying patterns that dot this nation politically and economically and everything, every other illy that you can get as you cross this nation. That's what makes the whole thing work.
I have not to interrupt you, but I have an update on the Whigs and the Tories. The Tories were not a band, not that I could find in my Google searches. They should be. So that's an idea of a band that you and I could start. And the Whigs are...
Or anybody listening, could start the band.
Yeah, that's right. That's anybody, any of our listeners, you can start the Tories. And then the Whig...
Any of our listener.
Yeah, any of our listener. Mom. Let's just call it by her name. The Whigs are actually... I know the band, the Whigs. I'm going to play them underneath me talking right now. They are a band from Athens, Georgia. Yeah.
What?
And they're
what year?
Like the 2000s. They've opened up for the Black Keys, Kings of Leon, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Drive By Truckers. They've made albums. They're still together. The Whigs, Athens, Georgia. So there you go. Yeah. No, but I'm not upset that you had the rant, and I think you have every right to. You know, the question is, you know, what happens next? You know, what's the future is very uncertain.
I know it is, man. I know it is.
Yeah.
I like what I see.
Yeah.
I like protesters.
Yeah, yeah.
Letting their voices be heard. And I like the fact that it's not just, you know, we were talking about New York, LA. I'm glad it's not just New York and LA. I love that it's Denver. It's obviously going to be
Minneapolis.
Yeah. But I love that it's Denver. I love that it's Nashville, Tennessee. I love that it's in Kentucky. I love that it's all over, because we're not going to have change until we change.
Yeah.
And then when we change, we get the change. And it's just so easy. And I've had some heated exchanges, man, with some people.
Yeah.
That have all been great. They have given rise to wonderful things. But I've had some exchanges that have been, because tempers are tender during these times.
Huh.
You know.
Really?
And
so have you been in touch with someone who's on the other side of things?
No, actually, no.
Okay.
Interestingly, the oddly enough, the sensitive navigation has been on this side of the conversation, but what to do about it? What's the proper approach?
Right.
What do we, how hard do you shake the tree?
Right.
What's okay? What's not okay? What's effective? What's ineffective? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of smart people having very smart conversations that still can piss each other off. Mm-hmm. Because just because you have a solid vocabulary doesn't mean somebody else isn't going to think you're burying your head in the sand or you're out over your skis. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It has led to some very interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. Very. Hmm. And I think that's great. I think some of the healthiest conversations, I mentioned my family earlier, I'm talking about other buddies of mine and some of whom you know, Rob, that are like, we've been into it. And we're like, this is great. This is super healthy. Because when's the last time, no, jokes aside, when's the last time you and I had a political argument?
Never.
Never. So it's healthy when there's something that is still near and dear to our heart, but is enough to make us want to scrap about it and and we're wrestling about it in our minds, and so we use our trusted friend group as soundboards, and we bounce things around. That's great. I really think that's how change happens. Mm-hmm. That feels more like a Congress than Congress. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've always said, and I'm going to say my old man phrase again, but if we can't, as a species, as a citizenry, have constructive disagreements with each other, then how can we expect to elect representatives who do that on our behalf?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and it causes you to think. It causes you to think about your stance and why you have your stance, and, you know, that's what I was saying earlier about sitting with myself, you know, and just, you know, just meditating on it, you know, thinking about it, and questioning yourself, and
you just said it, Rob. You just hit the nail on the head. I think you just nailed it. That's the challenge to put to people. Defend your position on paper, even if it's just for yourself. You know what I mean? Because I think that's what happened to my email chain with my my buddies. Because we were having to put our thoughts down on paper, right? Or on cyber paper. Right. We were having to figure out, how do I say this in an email chain that has people from all over the nation and some from the UK.
Right.
Not all of us are the same race.
Right.
You know, not all the same upbringing. Mm-hmm. So how do we say this and defend our position or back somebody else's position? It was just one of the most amazing exchanges I've had in a long time, because it challenged me. And it challenged everybody.
Yeah.
And if you're not being challenged, you know, there's something about this anger that comes flying at you online that the machete couldn't figure out why I was doing this. But I supported a get out the vote movement in Texas. That was leaning blue, because I think Texas matters a lot in the presidential election, and people rail at me, F-bombs, and
whoa,
stay in your own state, you're Californian. I know, boob Google, they're stepping on your turf.
I saw that you responded to one. Not only can I not, it's really hard for me to read responses to things I post. It's hard for me to read other people's.
I get it, man. It wasn't hard for me to write.
It's awkward, but it's important.
It was right for me to write, though, because it was. Because you know what? The fact that it is, I could also walk away and just go, whatever.
No, but I mean, I think if you give it, like you said, you don't normally have posts like that. It was a blue leaning post. Normally, you speak very generally because you know that you have audience on both sides. And so you say, hey, you know, you're very specific about being fair and not really committing to one side. And that was a blue post that and I support you 110% about it, by the way. So I get it. People responded and you feel like, okay, if I'm going to lean a little bit blue, I'm going to defend myself. And that's,
if you're going to yell and scream at me, I'm going to calmly go, well, the Electoral College requires that every party have a movement in each state. So it really doesn't matter what state I'm from. If I'm looking at a federal election, I have to be concerned about every state, especially if they have a sizable Electoral College stakehold. And a lot of times my response was, you're fired up. You clearly have a horse in this race. Good for you. Take that energy to the polls and to your party. Mm-hmm. And knock on doors. Mm-hmm. Do what I'm doing in reverse. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't like people representing a party you don't like the views, then that's your opportunity to hop on the wagon there and get involved. Mm-hmm. You go knock on doors. You let your friends know that Trump's the right way to go, or that the Republicans are the party of tomorrow.
And then do they respond back to your response?
Very few. At the end of the day, it's math. It's a belief system that you translate into numbers.
Right.
And that's very, very, very difficult because your emotions swell.
Yeah.
And you've got to be active to get your point across. And you've got to get involved.
Yeah.
And I encourage everybody out there to get involved. And if you're listening to Robin Rich and thinking, Robin Rich are two leftist ding-dongs, I'm Republican all the way, kudos. Go volunteer at the local Republican office or Trump office and support your candidate. I don't have
look.
Issue
all
with
we're
that.
Saying is,
even
yeah.
though I have strong opinions.
Yeah, no. All we're saying is this is how we are. We're not saying you've got to be this. We are saying register to vote, but you're allowed to be however you are. We welcome all creeds, all beliefs. You know, as long as they're fair.
Except
fair
racists. Racists are welcome here.
Was,
no racists.
I was just going to say...
We shut the door on racists.
I was just going to say, as long as they're fair and loving ideologies, go for it. You do you. We're just saying this is where we lean. And absolutely, there's no room for hatred. There's no room for racism. That's why I don't understand why this is this hot topic. You know, it should be an issue. It shouldn't be an argument. The argument is how can we fix it? Not, you know...
I know, and that's why I don't get why people yell and scream at me online. I don't get it. I also, I'm not hurt by it because I'm a big boy.
Yeah.
And I put myself out there, so I expect to get swatted around. But, man, it is, I mean, if one is of fragile nature, that is a dark place to tread.
Yeah, oh yeah, man, that's why I mean? I don't tread very much. I don't go very far.
I don't tread very much, but it's a great example. I mean, the best thing about posting online and getting beat up is it helps me parent better, because my goal is to keep my children off social media completely. And it's a great way of going, this is what you're walking into. This interests you? Because your dad on a Saturday between playing catch with you is going to go respond to somebody told me to get bent and F off. And may my state light on fire and fall off the end of the country, and try to calmly explain to them that that's not how the system works. Are you sure you want to dip into this, kids? I just think the social media.
Yeah.
I mean, social media.
Social media can be... Back.
Let's segue into that.
Well, do I have to?
No. Yes, because look what our president has done to social media.
It's awful, like, though. It can be... I mean, look, there's a lot of good information out there right now, and social media has been great for that, but at some point, you know, that's why I appreciate that they're doing so much protesting. I went out and marched a little bit. There's stuff going on down the street from me in Silver Lake. I went down there and joined in, and it feels good. It feels good to go out and be active, have my mask on, trying to stay, you know, 6 feet apart. But shouting in the streets, man, it's all peaceful and quite inspiring. And I think we do need to turn off the fucking computer sometimes and go outside. And that's why I like this 8 p.m. thing we've been doing. It's happening in Silver Lake and in other various parts of the world. At 8 o'clock every night, we go out and on the balcony and scream. And it's, you know, it's started to mean other things. At first, it was a tribute to the medical workers. But I think it's now a bit of a protest. For a while, it was just letting off steam. But I think it's important just to turn off social media every once in a while. It can be... And starting with our president. I mean, I did it today. I went to look and see what he's been tweeting because I get so fucking angry. I look for that fix. Does that make sense? And it's not necessarily right. I'm not saying what I'm doing is it's actually bad, but I'm looking to get fired up because he's such a dimwit. It's not good. It's not healthy.
It's not. But what the president has done successfully is point out, without meaning to point out, all the flaws in social media.
Right.
Because he's exactly what it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, well, he's a bully.
On every level. I mean, just from a basic level, if a government official shouldn't use social media for non-governmental posts, I mean, like anything written by a president is kind of a decree. Like, you got to be careful what you're saying, because what you're tweeting could affect stock prices and ship movements in the Baltic Sea. You know, you got to be careful.
Ship movements?
Well, I mean, I guess the guys out there are probably pooping. Sure. I mean,
have you ever pooped in the Baltic? It's quite something.
No, but I got to be honest. One of my favorite songs you've ever written is "Have You Ever Pooped in the Baltic?" Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Benedict.
Have you ever pooped in the Baltic? Have you ever grabbed a camel by the nose? Yeah, there's plenty of room in the Baltic. Just don't let it get up your nose.
We needed that song.
Yeah, we needed it.
You know what I mean?
It.
We needed that song. I'm not sure you needed to be so descriptive, but we needed that song because we'd been a long way without songs. We went a long way without songs.
Well, I had to.
Oh, I don't know. Don't we worry? We worry so much about offending each other, man. And that's supposed to be okay.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be. Well, but I don't know. Like, I had this internal argument. I'll be totally honest with you. Because civility matters, right? We are supposed to be decent to each other. We are supposed to be able to hear an opinion that we don't totally agree with and not have a conniption fit. We're like, well, that's interesting, you know, and either follow up with the question or walk away going, I don't agree with that chap, but onward we go. Uh-huh. Like, we should be able to do that. At the same time, a lot of times doing that is causing the damage. Mm-hmm. It's ignoring the rift in the rock that will eventually collapse the whole building. And then you become somebody going like, look over there, look at that horrible thing that's happening. And people get numb to the look over there, look at that horrible thing happening. So you stand to lose almost on both. The silence can be just as deafening as the yelling and screaming. And if it's too silent or too loud, both are equally ineffective in a way, maybe.
Yeah, look, you have to speak your mind. This is America, and that's one of the best things we can do is speak our mind. And I think you have to be honest with people around you and with yourself. And conflict is something we will always have. And, you know, that's all fine and good. And there are people that are going to be on the other side of the aisle in terms of Trump or Republican. That's fine. But the civil rights thing is not there's no argument there. You treat people equally.
It's not.
And that's, you know, that's a different, you know, thing that shouldn't be an argument.
Hold on. I got another email, another tweet. Sorry, tweet.
Text from the machete?
Text from the machete. Yeah. I think maybe she's a Russian.
What is she saying?
Well, this says RU, but the letter R and the letter U. Are you don't with your podcast?
Maybe it's the same bot that was invading my phone at the beginning of this. The bot.
I text you from saying you do from podcast. The CVS Nieta balloons. Are you don't with podcast?
Are you don't?
By the way, she walked in here. If she walked in here, Rob and I would not be doing Russian accents imitating the machete. We'd be saying,
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry about the misunderstanding. Can I have Rob forcibly removed? Or
do you think that...
Rob and I are nowhere near each other, by the way. For anybody who hasn't figured this out, when the machete walks in, she just sees me talking to Mike. She can't even hear Rob.
Thank God. I'm safe. I'm at a safe house at an undisclosed location. Few miles away.
Hold on. Rob won't let me.
Rob keeps yapping and yapping.
Rob won't let me. Wrap
are
it
you
up.
Don't?
He.
Maybe it's Rue. Maybe it's Rue don't.
Yapping.
Rue don't podcast.
Maybe she means. No, hold on. Maybe she's saying Rue as in RuPaul.
Right. Exactly.
RuPaul, don't with your podcast. Right. Like, don't even
don't
go.
Don't even.
So if RuPaul has a podcast. Maybe she's listening to that podcast. She's like, oh, Rue, don't with your podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Maybe that's how she meant it.
Man, that could also be the title of this podcast. Rue, don't with the podcast. Nevertheless, we're sending everybody lots of love. And
lots of love.
Take care of yourself.
If you're protesting, I'm proud of you. Keep protesting. If you're looting, I don't think that's the right idea.
No.
Think twice.
100%.
I look at that and go, that's a terrible thing to do. But I'm not in the shoes and the mind. I don't have the history of the person. If you, I'll tell you this though, if you're an instigator trying to drum up some BS, suck it. Leave. Get in your car and go home. If you're some white dude who's trying to start some sort of weirdo race baiting war because you think that you're on the right side of history because you're a white guy, F-O, man. You're not. Leave.
I hope those, build a ship in a bottle.
Find a
hobby.
I hope
those people aren't actually listening. I hope they. We don't listen. We don't want you here.
But it'll be really jarring if our audience drops. Like, oh my God, we were the white supremacist podcast.
We never knew.
If you are a white supremacist, please don't. Just follow Rob, but unfollow Rich. That's all we're saying.
Nope, not what we're saying. Unfollow both of us. I feel I have to be specific about what I'm saying so it doesn't get misquoted.
By the way, what if you entered a beauty contest and you won misquoted?
I like it. It sounds like a New Yorker cartoon punchline.
That was a joke my sister used to always make when I was a kid. My oldest sister, Barbie, she used to say, I entered a beauty contest and I won. It was Miss the Boat.
That's good. That's good.
She's funny, that Barbie.
All right. Well, thanks, Barbie. And thanks.
Thank you, Barbie. Thank you, Machete.
Machete for a great guest star appearance. And
thank you, Wonder Barb, for being progressive.
Thank you to the computer games that babysat Richard's children. And thanks to Alpo.
Alpo! Oh, wait, you mean Alpo or the drug lord?
Sorry, Alpo. I meant, of course, the drug lord. But also to the dog food.
Robbie?
Yeah?
Haven't talked to you in a couple weeks. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, buddy.
And stay safe. Stay active. I love hearing that you're out there marching.
Yeah.
And if you're out there, stay active in whatever way that is safe and healthy for you to do. But do it. And stay, to Rob's point, let's all go to Rob's point, stay observant.
There you go.
Listen. Listen with an open mind and an open ear and think about things.
We'll see you again hopefully next week.
Hey, hey, everything's great. And my guest is Richard Spade.